Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Rowan Johnson, who is a performance artist, also a fight director, someone who's involved in a lot of very physical theater-related activities. She's currently in Conway, Arkansas, but she is will be moving to Italy in a few months. And she's had Alexander lessons or classes over the past couple of years. Not a lot of exposure to the Alexander technique, but I thought it would be very interesting to get her initial impressions of the work and how it relates to her work. Rowan, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Robert.
Rowan, could you begin by telling our listeners what you tell people when they ask you what this Alexander technique thing is?
Well, when people come up to me and ask me, like, what the heck I'm doing, I like to talk about how it, first I'll just introduce it as a movement technique, because, you know, people know that I do, like, Grotowski and, you know, different weird movement methods, and sometimes that's all they want to hear. Oh, well, it's another movement thing. But if people are more interested, I like stuff that you've talked about in your podcast, effortless movement, and the idea of releasing tension and using only the musculature that you need to perform certain activities. And it always leads back to ease of movement. And sometimes I like to talk about the mind-body connection, which is something that we deal with in martial arts and stunt work and dance and everything else. But the Alexander technique has given me better understanding of that mind-body connection, so that having your body do what your mind wants it to do, because sometimes it doesn't always happen.
That's the truth. Yeah, I read in your biography that you began training in the martial arts when you were 5 years old. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So yeah. you have a long, obviously have a great abiding interest in physical movements. I don't know what the right word is, but very physical movement training of various kinds.
Yeah.
And in that whole range of things that you've done, which is quite impressive, how does the Alexander technique fit in to that range of things that you've done?
Well, I've, you know, especially with martial arts, I've encountered a lot of these ones, and I've noticed since I've been employing the Alexander technique, issues that I've had with old injuries have become less, because I'm realizing what my body is doing to compensate for those problems, and I'm correcting them. And also, especially when I'm fighting on stage or in film, I've noticed that when I use effortless, more conscious, and when I inhibit, and all those other fun vocabulary words that we have, the things that I do come more easily, they're more fluid, and I'm less likely to get injured.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the effects of previous injuries. Obviously, in the kind of work you're doing, injuries are an occupational hazard, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, what is your understanding of what happens when you're injured after the immediate injury, after the injury has healed, in terms of compensations around that? And how does the technique help that?
Well, I guess I'll use a personal example, because, you know, it all depends on where the injury is and everything, but I tore my peroneal tendon in my right ankle a couple of years back. And of course, so I had a limp, and that caused my hips to go off balance, because I was really trying not to walk on that side of my body, which then pushed my back out of balance and put my shoulders out of whack, and that made my... But I didn't know all that. All I knew was my leg hurts. But as it started to heal, and especially now, a couple years later, I know that, or I began to notice that I still, even though it doesn't actually hurt, my mind is conceiving that it does, and I'm afraid, even though not consciously, something in my brain is afraid that if I that leg, it's going to hurt again. And so I'm still compensating, even though I don't actually need to.
Mm-hmm. And you, have you found that the Alexander technique kind of enhances your awareness of that
Absolutely.
Tendency and then your ability to prevent it?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it hasn't happened overnight, and it's still, you know, I still have to take moments of inhibition to think, okay, where am I in my space in the world? But it's I'm having to do it less often, and it's getting faster to where I don't have to do the entire body check anymore. I can just say, okay, I'm Alexanderizing, and go. And mm-hmm. it's faster and it's easier.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that you work with a lot is fight directing. And I think you also do fight scenes yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I would imagine that the tendency in a fight scene would be to marshal all the strength you can mm-hmm. to overcome your opponent, or to seem to overcome your, I guess, because it is acting.
Yes.
So... How does the Alexander technique is generally about using less, doing less work to accomplish the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, do you find that you can apply the technique in a way that both helps you and still makes what you're doing realistic to the audience?
I would say yes, absolutely. And I'm going to reference one of my favorite Alexander teachers. Mm-hmm. When he talks about Alexanderizing, he kind of jokes that you go from Clark Kent to Superman. Because when you're in proper alignment, you have a stronger presence about you. And as a character, that can show that you're more confident. You don't have to put as much effort into what you do because you know what you're doing. And someone who is slumped with the shoulders forward and may have their pelvis out of alignment, that shows insecurity. So I use the Alexander technique a lot. I mean, I was using it yesterday when I was teaching a fight out in the park. Talking about how those choices that we make with our bodies show how comfortable our character is in a fight. So if I'm doing a rapier dagger fight where I have to have a lot of poise, maybe I'm an aristocrat or something, and I have to go into that fight like I really know what I'm doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I wouldn't be fighting with two blades in my hand. So if I go in and my pelvis is aligned and my spine is right and my head is forward and ready to move forward and away, and my shoulders are down, I am showing that I'm confident. And if I can rehearse this fight enough to where I can keep my body in, I guess I'll call it Alexanderized, if I can keep it that way throughout and move effortlessly, tries to find this, it actually makes for a better, more dynamic fight. Because as an audience member, I'm going, wow, those people are real fighters. They've been doing it since they were able to walk, because obviously they don't have all that tension because they don't have to worry about it. So yeah, I think it makes really dynamic characters.
So essentially, one of the things you're saying then is just your basic appearance, mm-hmm. your presence as you show up on stage or on film, kind of predisposes the viewer to think, okay, this is a person who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and even if the character's less confident, it is still possible to show an air of tension, an air of, I don't quite know what I'm doing, I'm uncomfortable, through movement instead of having actual tension in the body. So I like for all of my fighters to be in good alignment all the time, because it's safe for them, and we have other ways to make them look uncomfortable than actually making them uncomfortable.
One of the things that you mentioned in your blog that I sort of initially found you on the web was you talked a little bit about the whole problem of, in Alexander jargon, it has some fancy terms, but basically not having accurate information about yourself.
Yeah.
That people often don't, they think they're doing something one way or standing or sitting a certain way, and in fact, they're not. And that, to me, also, it seems also that that's compounded by the fact that it has never occurred to them that they're sense of where they are and how they're moving could be wrong. So it isn't, they're not even sort of checking in on it to see or verifying. Could you say a little about that? And I would imagine that would be a huge problem in a fight scene, for example.
I am so glad that you brought that up, because I spent about an hour working with this yesterday, and I would love to talk about it. Both in my body and especially in my students, I'll have moments, because you know I've been teaching for about 5 or 6 years, so I'm still kind of new to the scene, and I come across these situations and I'm now learning how to deal with it. I was dealing with an actor yesterday, and I would push her hand away, and it would stay there, because it was supposed to be a block, or a parry and a strike to her forearm, but her arm wouldn't move. And I said, look, I know you're strong, but I need you to just move the hand. And she goes, well, I am. And I was like, well, no, you're not. And and at first I'm going, well, how do I explain this? But I would do it over and over and over again, and I would get a little bit of movement each time, but I'm saying, no, really swing it back. And she's going, I am. And so finally I had her, I took her hand and I said, just give me your arm. And I was moving it, and I'm moving it like we do in Alexander class, and she's resisting me. And I said, don't resist me. She goes, I'm not. You're saying, well, okay, well, think about this. And yeah, it's so interesting when I ask a fighter, okay, do this, and I'll show them, okay, do this like I do. And these intelligent, very athletic people, but for some reason the mind-body connection will not quite connect in the way that they are asking it to do. And so that's why we have so much repetition. That's why rehearsal is so necessary. As simple as a kick, I'll say, align your hips, and they'll say, okay, I'm going to, and then it won't happen. And again, it has nothing to do with intelligence or physical ability. It's just connection. And so that's, yeah, I've already said it, but repetition. And eventually, over time, it gets easier. I think the Alexander technique is the same way.
Mm-hmm. And just expanding what we're talking about a little bit to other performance activities, which you've, I'm sure, are knowledgeable about. Do you see the Alexander technique as being useful in, say, non-acting situations, for singers or dancers, or for somewhat the same reasons? Or do you think there's anything very specific about the work you do where the Alexander technique plays a different kind of a role?
I really think it's the same across the board. I mean, obviously for different purposes, but the fact is we're all humans. And yeah, we each have different strengths and different challenges to overcome. But really, aligning the head on top of the neck to open up the vocal stuff so that singers can sing properly. It no different from my having to have a good connection between my shoulder and my elbow and my wrist so that with a small sword, you know, it's just, it's still that ease of movement and that lack of tension so that best way possible.
Right, right. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to talk about regarding the technique?
I really don't think so, but I've reiterating that this has been a great journey so far, and my gosh, I have practically a whole semester left, and I am really excited about how the Alexander technique is going to affect, it is affecting my career across the board, from acting to dancing, just everything, and ultimately, and I know this is going to sound kind of cheesy, but in living as well. I mean, it makes life easier.
Oh, well, that's probably a good place to end our conversation. My guest today has been Rowan Johnson, who is a performance artist, a fight director, and all sorts of other theater and movement-related things. She's currently in Conway, Arkansas, but she is will be moving to Italy and will be there for a few years. So if anything that we've talked about intrigues you, we'll certainly put a link to her site by the interview, and we'll also put a link to a website that will give you information on finding a teacher in your area. Rowan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.